example, on the AIDS issue, you know, we all hear that because of God, then all the homosexuality is an abomination to God, and so now we have AIDS in the world. And we know, of course, no one can violate God's law and get by with it. I was wondering if you might say that or something, President.
First of all, of course, well, as far as we'll reap what we sow, and so on, I think that's certainly true in this life and also in eternity. Now, AIDS is a natural outcome of an immoral lifestyle or doing those immoral things. And it's just a natural result of doing something that is an abomination. Now, God's providence may be involved in that. I'm not prepared to say that it isn't. However, I would say this, that I actually know an individual who has AIDS today that is not of that lifestyle. This lady got it through a blood transfusion. She's a Christian woman. She has AIDS. So I'm real reluctant just to say that some of these diseases, well, they're a punishment for sin. There again, you have an innocent perfect person suffering for the evil that others have done. But who's to say that God didn't allow this thing to come upon man because of their sinful nature? I don't know. I'd be glad to hear any other comments on it.
Comments or questions? GB.
Pertaining to AIDS and things such as that, you know, the homosexual lifestyle and immoral lifestyle have been around for many years, and diseases more recently, as far as being widespread. And societies and places where that lifestyle has been practiced in the past, the disease has been prevalent, so it can be hard to say that simply as a judgment from God for that.
No.
Has been thought many times in the past in Europe, the plagues, and things such as that came along, people thought that that was a judgment against wickedness. And those aren't necessarily, doesn't necessarily follow us, correct? Any more than, I don't believe any more than you can say that simply because someone has lung cancer, that's a judgment of God upon them. You know, for their lifestyle or something.
Appreciate that.
Greg DeGaulle. In regard to this judgment against evil, Luke 13 and 3 is a good example of that, or Luke 13 and 5, I should say, where Jesus is talking about the 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on him. He said, "Do you think these men were more guilty than all others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent. And you shall likewise perish."
Yeah.
My question is, in Job, do you think, you know, as a result of Job, the first chapter, where we have Satan coming to God and saying, sure, Job obeys you, you know, you protected him. And so the Lord says, okay, everything he has is in your hands. Do you think sometimes that evil is a result of God withdrawing his protective providence and Satan is allowed to work that evil?
I think that God allowed our faith to be tried, and I certainly allowed Job to be tried supremely. He did put restrictions up on Satan. He said only on his tried. I think that's for sure.
Any more questions? Comments?
Don. Well, don't you think, Melvin, with regard to this disease thing, you know, God set up nature in the beginning. And all of these things that are factors within it are according to his will, or he wouldn't have set it up that way.
That's right.
It's one thing to say that AIDS is an outgrowth of homosexuality. I agree with what G.B. said. On the other hand, you know, it is a fact that when you violate certain moral principles, you also violate certain natural laws, and you're going to pay the penalty for it.
Well, that's right.
That is God's will. It's not that he brings it upon you judiciously,
right.
But he set it up in the beginning that way, and if you want to take your chances, you're going to have to pay the penalty.
That's good. That's right. He doesn't just have to divinely intervene and inflict these things. Like you say, they've been programmed from the beginning. And that's true of other sexual sins, too, and some of the diseases that have come about from a result of those. You see, it's just a natural violation of God's moral law as well as, at times, natural laws.
No, Don covered what I wanted to say.
Okay. Edwin Morris.
God has the natural law from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned. He took told them what was come upon. And it appears to me that all of these things in the realm of nature are going to happen. Now, in regards to this AIDS, true enough, homosexuality has been around. But it could be the work of God in His realm that a country such as ours is supposed to be educated. We may have gotten too high and mighty. That may be one way that He's bringing us down. And it's got rampant in this country of things that people know are better. They know better than doing it. They know it's wrong. See, where in some countries that may be just a way of life. They're ignorant. They don't know anything. And so, what do you think about that?
Well, that's an interesting thought. Of course, AIDS, I think, are rampant in other countries, too, where they are ignorant of the truth. But I wouldn't disavow God's providential workings at all. I mean, I think people are getting the proper upcoming, to say the least, but it's in the realms of nature, it seems to me, and I wouldn't deny God's providence in it.
Vance Ayers.
Appreciate your talk, Melton, very much. I'm wondering if in the case of someone we might know that has AIDS, for instance, and we know that there are true Christian people, true Christian persons. Maybe there might be a thing in there that would be a means of exposing God's word more clearly or demonstrating to the world that we still support that person who is a Christian in spite of that problem. What else I wanted to say, though, is in situations like, for instance, the great earthquake of Russia, and I'll also include with that the conduct exposed of Jimmy Baker, which I'm sure I don't have to spell you out. Maybe these are things that expose false religions so that the true religion can prosper more clearly without being denounced by people that are just classing religion all together.
Right. You know, I don't think you can remove God from all these things. I mean, sometimes we tend to want to do that, to separate Him from what seems to us to be disastrous and so forth. But God's the ruler of this universe, and you can't remove God from these things or from the responsibilities. And who are we to really fully comprehend God's workings? There's things that He just hasn't told us, but He has His reasons for these things happening.
Brother Nichols? Brother?
In reference to the subject of AIDS, I've had the misfortune, I guess you say, of being involved with an insurance company that has a lot to do with that. It is malpractice insurance and so forth. And there are a lot of people that get that because of their own lifestyle. There's a lot of people that get it because of accidental exposure, for example, blood transfusion. There's a lot of innocent bystanders that are scared to death, and I think maybe we church people might be that way, where we don't want to associate with anybody regardless of how they got it, and so forth. So I think I'd like to simply add that in reference to AIDS or any other disease like that. And there's a bunch of other diseases that are just as serious as AIDS. They know about them, they're not even tested for them, that are just as devastating, that are transmitted the same way, that the only difference is the incubation period. Something that incubates in 80 or 100 years doesn't matter, probably, that people don't know about it. But anyway, what I want to point out was in reference to providence, regardless of what the event is, To some people, it's an opportunity. To some people, it may be a trial. To other people, it may be a punishment. And our problem is, from a finite viewpoint, we don't know which it is to which person. And if we are in the habit of passing judgment on people, obviously any type of suffering is because of sin. That's not necessarily so. I like the verse over in Romans. It's Romans 14, verse 8, in kind of that context. Whether we live or die, you know, we're the Lord's. Regardless of what the situation is, whether it is our personal trial, whether it's our punishment, we just need to endure it and take it and so forth. But either way, it's simply a different situation that we as an individual have to face and work through. And then regardless of how we do that, we can still bring glory to God by it.
That's right. I tend to think of the situation of Paul having a thorn in the flesh that he wanted to be rid of, but it wasn't God's will for him to be rid of it. He had it there for a purpose.
Ray Fox.
Good job, Melvin. About the providence of God, the scriptures show us that God is always working through Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that in Colossians, that whatever happens is by the will of God, and it may be that God just simply allows events to take their natural course, and they fulfill His purposes, or He may specially intervene to bring about something. We don't know. We don't know if God allows things to run their natural course. We don't know when He specially intervenes. And when we speculate about whether God has specially intervened here and His providence has worked here in some special way, we're speculating about things we really don't know, because we don't have what we call a divine interpreter to tell us. You know, the scriptures in biographies like Job provide for us a divine interpreter to show us what was really happening, that God allowed Satan within certain limitations to work. So our speculation is meaningless about these questions about whether God specially intervened or not. There's no indication in the book of Job that Job ever knew what was going on. That he ever knew what happened behind the scenes. There's no indication of that. So our purpose, I think, and I believe, is instead of sort of speculating about whether God worked here or God worked there, to recognize His constant providence and take positive advantage of every circumstance, every event that happens, to glorify and honor Him. And so it's our responsibility not to sit and speculate about what God did or didn't do. Our responsibility is to act and respond to His providence, because every good and perfect gift comes from God.
Alan Bonifay.
I appreciated what Raymond said there. I thought you were going to talk about it too. And I think that what Raymond said is very, very important. And I think we need to be careful about this business about AIDS and deciding without a divine interpreter that that's a judgment of God against homosexuality, because homosexuality is so repugnant to us. I mean, it obviously is transmitted by a very wicked lifestyle, but in Africa, you know, it's rampant, and it's a heterosexual disease in Africa. And I don't know if it's a judgment of God or not, but at any rate.
Don Jackson.
Well, I just basically agree with what's been said, but the thing that I wanted to point out was, to me, I think the issue is not a judgment of God, because there are other methods of passing the disease other than just homosexuality. Dirty needles or drug addicts and all sorts of things have been discovered. But one of the things that I think is most important, and Ray touched on, is that the purpose of trial is to strengthen our faith. And we are tried more than just by disease and by pain. We're tried in a number of ways, and maybe what we need to do is not concentrate on why God's trying us, but rather concentrate on taking each trial and turning it to our advantage and growing as a result of the trial.
Edward Morris.
When we talk about evil and sin and so forth, I'd like to get just a little closer home that AIDS and such things that we in this audience don't participate in. We believe and teach that drinking liquor harms our bodies. We teach that, believe that smoking does different things. I'd like to give you a little something else to think about. The Bible teaches this, this body is not mine, it belongs to the Lord. Most of you in here can eat sugar. It would be a sin for me to eat sugar. My body cannot tolerate it. It's not my body. I could kill myself by tomorrow night by leaving off insulin and just gorging on sweets. I would commit suicide. So what I'm just simply saying is, we as Christians, we're to take care of this body by us. And when we do that, that takes care of all the others. I'm the youngest of 11 children. When I first went to the doctor, he said, yours is not from overeating. Yours is hereditary. He said, your mother and father, grandfather, I said, never heard of it. He said, well, it's come from the family. I asked my mother. They left Tennessee in 1910. She hadn't seen her family, no, she didn't know of it. I went to Tennessee and I went to someone. The family found out it was in the family. Up until about 2 years ago, or three, I'm the youngest of 11 children. The other 10 didn't have it for a long time. I'll soon have it, known of it, I think it's been one all my life, but I've known of it for 37 years. Never one time have I complained and said, well, why did it happen to me? Why didn't it happen to other members of family? I don't look at it that way. I'm thankful, possibly, that it was me instead of them. Because if I wasn't one, I might not be here today. I've tried to take that and use it to an advantage. Lots of things I can tell you that I want. Lots of problems I can tell you that I want at this time to tell you individually. But what I'm saying is, every one of us, and everyone stay broad, and everyone happens to us, and it's put upon us, let's look for things that we're thankful for. And ask my wife, I never complain about what she puts on the table. I'm not going to sit down and thank God for the food and complain. You'll never hear me complain because you can't eat sweets.